Radio Krishna presents Stories from the Mahabharata, or the History of Greater India.
Today's episode is entitled The Mahabharata War Begins. There has been no settlement between the two opposing forces at the time of the Mahabharata War, of Duryodhana on the one hand, who has unrightfully usurped the entire kingdom of the Pandavas, and of the Pandava heroes on the other side, who, although against the war, are now obliged to fight on the side of righteousness. Lord Krishna is supporting the Pandavas, and so for them there is bound to be all success. It was the day before the commencement of the great battle. The grandsire Bhishma, now the Kaurava general, was with Duryodhana, seeking to inspire him with his own heroic spirit and cheerfulness. Bhishma spoke of the strength, skill, and prowess of the warriors ranged on the Kaurava's side. Duryodhana was cheered up somewhat, and presently Karna became the subject of their talk. Bhima said,
"Karna has earned your affection, but I do not think very much of him. I do not like his great hatred of the Pandavas, and he is too boastful. There is no limit to his arrogance, and he is much given to disparaging others. I would not place him in the highest rank among the warriors of the land. Besides, he has given away the divine armor with which he was born. He is not therefore likely to be of great help to me in this battle. The curse of Parashuram is also upon him. His command of supernatural weapons will fail him in his hour of need, for he will not be able to remember the mantras. And the battle that will ensue between him and Arjuna will prove fatal for Karna."
Thus Bhishma spoke without mincing matters, and this was exceedingly unpalatable to Duryodhana and Karna. To make matters worse, Drona agreed with the grandsire and said that Karna was full of pride and overconfidence, which would cause him to be neglectful of the finer points of strategy, and through carelessness he would suffer defeat. Enraged by these harsh words, Karna turned to the grandsire with flaming eyes.
"You, sir, have always slighted me through mere dislike and envy, and have never neglected an opportunity of humiliating me, though I gave you no reason. I tolerantly bore all your taunts and thrusts for the sake of my friend Duryodhana. You have said that I would have not be of much help in the impending war. Let me tell you that my settled conviction, it is you and not I who will fail the Kauravas. Why do you hide your real feelings? The fact of the matter is that you have no genuine affection for Duryodhana, but he doesn't know it. Hating me, you seek to come between me and Duryodhana, and thus poison his mind against me. And in furtherance of your wicked design, you've been belittling my strength and running me down. You've stooped to a behavior unworthy of a Kshatriya. Age alone does not confer a title to honor and respect among warriors, but prowess does. Desist from poisoning our relations."
Turning then to Duryodhana, Karna said,
"Illustrious warrior, think well and look to your own good. Don't place too great a reliance on this old grandfather here. He's trying to sow dissension in our ranks. His appraisement of me will injure your cause. By running me down, he seeks to dampen my enthusiasm. He's old, senile, and his time is almost up. It is he who is arrogant, not I. In fact, his arrogance doesn't let him have regard for anyone else. Ah, well, age is supposed to be respected, and experience is occasionally useful, but as the scriptures warn us, There's a point when age becomes senility and ripeness falls into rottenness and decay. Well, you've made Beesma your generalissimo, who will, I have no doubt, earn some fame from the heroic deeds of others. But I'm not going to fight and bear arms while he's in command. Only after he's dead will I join the battle.
The arrogant man is never conscious of his own arrogance, and when accused of it, he charges the accuser with that very fault. His judgment is warped, and he considers it a crime on the part of anyone to point out his defect. Controlling his anger, Bhishma replied,
Karna, we are in a crisis, and that is why you have not ceased to live this very moment. You have been the evil genius of the Kauravas.
Duryodhan was in distress and said,
Bhishma, I need the help of you both. You will both do deeds of great heroism, I have no doubt. Tomorrow morning the battle starts, and so we can't afford to fight amongst ourselves with the enemy in full force right in front of us.
But Karna was adamant in that he would not take up arms as so long Bhishma was in the supreme command. Duryodhan eventually yielded to Karna and suffered him to carry out his threat. Karna kept out during the first 10 days of the battle, though all his men participated in it. At the end of the 10th day, when the great Bhishma lay on the battlefield, covered with arrows, Karna went to him and bowed reverentially and asked forgiveness and blessings, which he received. Thereafter, Karna cooperated and himself proposed Drona for the command of the Kaurava forces in succession to Bhishma. When Drona also fell, Karna took over the command and led the Kaurava forces. Ready for the battle, the warriors on both sides gathered together and solemnly bound themselves to honor the traditional rules of war. From what follows, the hearer may have some idea of the rules of warfare followed in the Kurukshetra battle. Each day, the battle was over at sunset, and the opposing sides mixed freely like friends. Single combats might only be between equals, and one could not use methods not in accordance with religious principles. Thus, those who left the field or retired would not be attacked. A horseman could only attack another horseman, not one on foot. Likewise, charioteers, elephant troops, and infantrymen could engage themselves in battle only with their opposing numbers in the enemy ranks. Those who sought quarter or surrendered were safe from slaughter. Nor might one, for the moment disengaged, direct his weapons against another who was engaged in combat. It was wrong to slay one who had been disarmed or whose attention was directed elsewhere, or who was retreating, or who had lost his armor. And no shafts were to be directed against non-combatant attendants or those engaged in blowing conch shells or beating drums. These were the rules which the Kauravas and the Pandavas solemnly declared they would follow. Addressing the princes under his command, Bhishma said,
Heroes, princes, yours is a glorious opportunity. Before you are the gates of heaven, wide open. The joy of living with Indra and Brahma awaits you. Pursue the path of your ancestors and follow the Kshatriya Dharma. Fight with joy and attain fame and greatness. A Kshatriya does not wish to die of disease or old age in his bed, but prefers to die on the battlefield.
And the princes responded by ordering their trumpets to be sounded and shouted victory to the Kauravas. On Bhishma's flag shone brightly the palm tree and 5 stars. On Ashwatthama's, the lion tail fluttered in the air. In Drona's golden-hued standard, the ascetic's bowl and the bow glistened. And the cobra of Duryodhan's famed banner danced proudly with outspread hood. On Kripa's flag were depicted a bull, while Jayadrath carried a wild boar. Likewise others, and the battlefield thus presented a pageant of flags. Seeing the Kaurava forces ranged in battle array, Yudhisthira gave orders to Arjun.
The enemy force is very large. Our army's a little smaller, so our tactics should be concentration rather than being splayed out in various deployments, which will only weaken us. Array our forces, therefore, in the formation of the needle.
A sudden silence fell on the entire army. It looked like a painted picture. The Kuru veteran on the one side with all his heroes surrounding him, the great Dhrishtadyumna and Bhima with all the other warriors on the side of the Pandavas, Krishna and Arjuna in the golden chariot drawn by snow-white horses. In the silence, an amazing thing happened. Yudhisthira suddenly removed his armor. He dropped all his weapons to the ground and he walked with bare feet toward the enemy camp. Everyone was watching him. He was walking towards his dear grandfather. Looking at him, Bhima followed him. Arjuna and Sahadev with Nakula and Lord Krishna also walked with him. No one could understand why Yudhisthira was doing it. Arjuna said,
"My lord, what is the reason behind this sudden decision of yours to go towards your enemies?"
And Bhima said,
"My lord, you have removed your armor and so have we. You have dropped your weapons too. You're walking fast towards the enemies. Have you forgotten us, your brothers? Why are you doing this, my brother?"
And Nakula said,
"With this action of yours, the heart of your brothers have become nervous. Why this action on your part?"
And Sahadev asked,
"Instead of fighting with them, you are exposing yourself to the enemy. Why do you do it?"
Yudhisthira did not answer any of these questions. He was walking all the time. Lord Krishna looked at them reassuringly and said,
"I see his purpose. Yudhisthira is now going to Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, and Shalya to ask them for permission to fight with them. They are your elders. It has been said that if a man fights with his elders after getting their permission, he is sure to win the war. If, however, he does not care to ask them for permission, he will certainly be defeated. This is the reason for the strange behavior of Yudhisthira."
They walked silently after this. Everyone was watching Yudhisthira. The Kauravas were amazed to see him. They all thought that at the last moment Yudhisthira had lost his nerve, that he was proceeding towards Bhishma to beg him to stop the war. Yudhisthira came near the army which surrounded Bhishma, and it made way for him. Bhishma was waiting for the noblest of men, with a slight smile on his lips. Yudhisthira came near to him, and his eyes were full of tears. He fell at the feet of Bhishma, and so did his brothers. And Yudhisthira said,
"My lord, war has now become inevitable. We are forced to fight with you. I ask that you bless us and tell us that we will come out of the war with victory."
Bhishma was pleased with this gesture on the part of Yudhisthira. He said,
My child, you know that victory is yours. Krishna is on your side. That means that religion is on your side. Man is a slave to wealth and not wealth to man. I have to fight against you, since my wealth is that of the Kaurava monarch. I have no right to the throne of the Pauravas. I renounced it long ago. I have been supported by the king. It is my duty to fight for him, but you know that my love and blessings will always be yours.
Yudhisthira went to Drona, Kripa, and Salya. Having obtained their permission and blessings, he returned to his camp. When he came back, they all knew that war was to start at any moment, and that the Pandavas would win. When Yudhisthira was talking to Salya, Lord Krishna managed to go to Karna and said,
"Karna, I hear that because of your hatred for Bhishma, you have sworn not to fight until he dies. Once he is killed, you have got to fight. Even now it is not too late. Come away to the side of the Pandavas. Or why not join them for a few days? You can fight with Bhishma, your enemy. After he is dead, you can go back to Duryodhan."
Radheya laughed at Lord Krishna and said,
"Clever thought, Lord Krishna, but childish nevertheless. Indeed, your affection for the Pandavas is amazing. But my lord, I am fond of my friend Duryodhan as well, and I have already styled my life in the way that he wants me to. It is all a question of days, Krishna, just days. Kindly leave me to my fate. It's been ordained that way by fate, and no one can change it."
Lord Krishna's eyes were filled with tears at the sight of this man, the noblest and most fortunate of all heroes that were to die in a few days. Having returned from the presence of Bhishma, Yudhisthira announced to both the armies,
"The war is just about to begin. If there's anyone on the side of the Kauravas who is willing to join me, he is welcome."
Hearing these words of Yudhisthira, Yuyutsu, one of the brothers of Duryodhan, came to Yudhisthira and said,
"I wish to be on your side. Will you please have me?"
"Certainly. I'm glad that you're coming to our side. I am glad that when my uncle Dhritarashtra dies, at least one of his sons will be alive to perform the funeral rites for him."
These were deadly but gentle words coming from the lips of Yudhisthira made the Kauravas lose their complacency for a moment, and they shuddered involuntarily since they were at once reminded of the oath of Bhima. Yudhisthira embraced Yuyutsu and welcomed him. Yudhisthira put on his armor, then Bhima, then Arjun, then Nakula and Sahadev. The sight of these great men was terrible. They were very angry and formidable like death. All the warriors ascended their chariots. Conch shells were blown on either side, and the war drums and trumpets filled the air with din. The sound of all the many conches together was formidable, and the very heavens resounded with a terrible reverberation. Arjun's chariot had come to the front. His banner was presided over by Hanuman. He could now see the sons of Dhritarashtra and the example vyuha set up by his grandfather. In the deafening noise set up by the several conch shells and the war drums and trumpets, Arjun, taking his Gandiva bow in his hand, said,
Lord Krishna, please drive my chariot in the midst of the two contending armies. I want to see all the heroes who are arrayed against us. I want to have a good look on these men who are so eager for battle. I want to see with whom I have to fight in this war. I want to see all the many heroes who are so eager to please Duryodhan.
The chariot rumbled a few yards ahead, and Lord Krishna placed it just where Arjun wanted it, in front of Bhishma, Drona, and the others, and he said,
Look, Arjuna, look at this great army with Bhishma and Drona leading it. Look on all the Kauravas assembled here to die at your hands.
Arjun cast his eyes on the grand spectacle. He saw the heroes ready for battle, and he saw there all those who were dear to him. They were his grandfathers, teachers, uncles, brothers, sons, dear friends, and comrades. He looked again and again at them, and all on a sudden he was overcome with infinite compassion for all of them. His voice choked with grief, and he said,
Krishna, I feel an awful weakness stealing over me. My mouth has gone dry all of a sudden. I'm starting to tremble. My head is reeling, and I feel faint. My limbs refuse to respond. My body burns as if I had a fever, and my bow is slipping from my grasp. I look at all these who are my kinsmen, and I feel that I can't fight against them. Look on all these omens, Krishna. They do not bode any good to anyone. I don't think there's any good in killing my kinsmen. I don't want to win this war. I don't want any kingdoms, nor do I want the pleasures of this world. What's the use of them? These great heroes all mean so much to me, and there they are, ready to fight. I'll never kill them. Not for lordship of the three worlds, if I could get it. For the passing pleasure of ruling this world? And why should I kill the sons of Dhritarashtra? Sure, they've been greedy, evil, avaricious, covetous. I grant all that. But the fact remains that they are my cousins, and it is a sin to kill one's own kinsmen. I would rather turn away from the war and earn my living by begging. Even if they kill me, it would be better. Krishna, I don't want to fight.
Arjun then collapsed on the seat of his chariot. He had thrown away his bow and arrows, and his heart was laden with grief. His eyes were filled with tears, and his heart with great pity. Krishna looked at him for a moment and said,
Arjuna, how did this uneasiness come upon you? Can you not realize that this is a very important situation you are presently in? You have reached a crisis in your life, and you allow yourself to be swayed by all these feelings. This feeling is anything but noble. It will lead you away from heaven. It will be a blot on your fair name. You are courting ignominy. Throw away this momentary weakness of heart and get up. Do not forget your manliness. Come, Arjuna, get ready for the fight.
But how can I aim my arrows at Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of my worship? I should be offering arti and puja to them. Instead, I'm supposed to kill them? It's not right. Their blood will tinge every enjoyment which I may get in this world later. I can't do it. Krishna, you know that I am not a coward. And this is not a manifestation of weakness or cowardice. It's compassion for the enemy. I honestly don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm breaking down. You please tell me. You are the teacher of the universe. Tell me what I should do. I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. I leave the decision in your hands. Do with me what you will. I am sure nothing will wipe away this grief, not even the rewards promised in heaven and earth.
Arjun sat silent, refusing to fight. Krishna smiled slightly at Arjuna and said,
"Why, Arjuna, you are grieving for those who do not have to be grieved for, and yet you talk as though you were very wise. A wise man never weeps. He weeps not for the dead, nor for the living."
And thus Lord Krishna began to speak the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, spoken as it was to his devotee Arjuna 5,000 years ago on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. This Bhagavad Gita contains the greatest instructions imparted to man. It has been followed with devotion by generation upon generation, from Arjuna down to the present day. After hearing this great dissertation, Arjuna understood his rightful position and thus began to act on the behalf of righteousness. With a happy laugh which lit up his face, Arjuna took up his Gandiva bow, and the Lord took the reins of the white horses in his left hand and the whip in his right. The golden chariot of Arjuna began to move toward Bhishma's silver chariot. The great war of Kurukshetra had begun.
You've been listening to Stories from the Mahabharata, the celebrated history of Greater India. Compiled by the great sage Vyas many thousands of years ago, Mahabharata is written in the Sanskrit language in verse form and is here adapted for radio and brought to you by Radio Krishna. Tune in again for our next presentation of Stories from the Mahabharata.